Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:48 p.m. that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is January 19th. I thought we'd kick off with what's going on in the FANGs, because I think it's kind of interesting. If we look at the last 3 months, the two shares that have made all the running have been Tesla and Baidu. They're both up in excess of 90%. But then when we look at the rest of the constituents of this highly concentrated index, well, you've got Alphabet and Apple up 16 and 10% respectively, and then everything else is pretty much either flat or down, with Alibaba down about 18%. So we've definitely had some underperformance. Over 3 months, Facebook has pretty much gone nowhere, neither has Twitter. Amazon's down a bit, Nvidia is down a bit, and then when we think about, well, if they've been going sideways for about 3 months, what does that mean in terms of mean reversion? Well, Facebook is right in the region of the trend mean, and it did firmen here today. This is a logical area where some bargain hunters might start to come back in and think, well, it was overextended, it did have a very powerful run, this is a reversion to the mean, so it's generally consistent with the buying opportunity. So we've definitely started to see some evidence of that. Then when we think about Amazon, it's pretty similar. It did have a big move on the upside, and it has just about unwound its overextension relative to the trend mean. So as we think about then, the big question is, will it continue to find support in the region of the trend mean? It has a patchy history of doing so, but it's a logical area where at least some people will be thinking about the scope for some additional upside. Then when we think about Apple, well, it has performed somewhat better, but it's also pausing now within the the region of its all-time peak. So it does have a ways to go before it can fully unwind in overextension. Some of the other shares that have done rather well are still also in the regions of their peaks. But Microsoft, for example, has been mostly going sideways and is now also firming from just above the trend mean as well. Well, one thing that has certainly characterized performance over the last 3 or 4 months has been the complete outperformance of the small caps. And they were in positive territory again in here today. And so were the semiconductors. And semiconductors also have been storming performers. They haven't experienced the same kind of mean reversion that the mega caps have. Part of the reason for that is because of idiosyncrasies with those particular sectors. So small caps definitely benefit from a weaker dollar, they benefit from additional stimulative measures, whereas the mega caps stand out as targets for tax raising and also for regulatory measures. So they do have some more obstacles to overcome. Then when we think about semiconductors, well, there's obviously been a massive demand for them. Part of the reason for that was because of the trade war and the attempts by companies like Huawei and Xiaomi and others to try and get in with their orders ahead of sanctions. Then, of course, there was much more demand for consumer electronics during the lockdowns. And I think about our family and what we spent on electronics over the last year with a new iPad and the Oculus Rift. And those sorts of expenditures, well, we're obviously not alone. A number of those products were sold out for a really quite prolonged period of time in 2020, and that's still a lot of demand in those sectors. But I think perhaps the biggest growth driver isn't going to be necessarily because of the pickup in demand for automotives and the increase in the electronics within each new car, particularly electric cars. That's a secular trend. What's probably coming up in the next round of stimulus from a large number of countries will be an effort to try and put a tablet in front of every child, try and get internet access to every family. That's been one of the greatest sources of inequity over the course of the last 12 months has been access to educational resources for children. And in an effort to narrow that disparity, then investment in those sorts of resources could quite easily help to further propel semiconductors. Then, of course, there is the additional point that semiconductors are highly cyclical, and cyclicals have been doing really rather well. The other side of the cyclicals, of course, are commodities, and the copper price has continued to hold the breakout above 350 cents, and this looks like a completion of its base formation, and the copper miners index is also in the process of completing a base formation. When we think about the industrial resources, generally the BlackRock World Mining Trust has emphatically broken out of its base formation. Now, it is consolidating at present, but it continues to look like a breakout from a really quite prolonged period of ranging. Well, when we think about long ranges, then there are some extremely long ranges in the emerging markets and in Europe, and not, of course, in Japan as well. So when we think about the emerging markets ETF, it has now broken out to a new recovery high, and this is completing what is effectively a 13-year range. So there is clear scope here that we're going to see additional upside and outperformance by emerging markets. As we then think about individual emerging markets, well, Vietnam pulled back rather sharply in here today from the region of its all-time peak. It does suggest that we are now moving into a process of consolidation following a very impressive move to test that historic peak. It's not wholly unexpected, and there is the potential here that it could range for a few months before pushing on the upside once more. The Indian market continues to push higher in here, and it was in positive territory today. We've had some divergence in performance of Chinese indices. The Trump administration labeled the treatment of the Uyghur population in Xinjiang as a genocide. That was their parting shot at China in here today. The CSI 300 was in negative territory. The performance of Kwai Chau Mutai is one of the clearest indicators of what that index is likely to do. It's been storming higher for the last 5 years, and we just should remember this is not a technology company. This is simply a drinks manufacturer. One thing I think is rather interesting is that if we look at the price of diamonds, it gives us some interesting information about the appetites of the Communist Party cadres, because diamond prices hit an important peak in 2007 and 2008, which was the go-go times for the Communist Party in China, and it was a common practice to gift one another one carat diamonds. So there was massive demand for raw stones, and that carried through all the way through until 2011. And then we started to see that Xi Jinping came in. Then you had this displays of conspicuous wealth tended to be frowned upon, and the gifting of diamonds basically disappeared. So prices started to really come down, and then with the credit crisis and everything after that, prices, and then of course the evolution of the artificial gems, or I guess the lab-grown diamonds, well then the price really trended downwards. So it gives us an idea of how much an effect the gifting process of the Communist Party officials can have on the price of a commodity. Now, just as an aside, De Beers just this week decided that they were going to raise prices for diamonds, and that's for the first time in quite a few years. So that's likely to be beneficial in addition to the continued uptrend in industrial resource prices for Anglo-American. But then if we think about, well, why, how on earth could anyone justify the incredible advance on Kwe Chau Muay Thai, it's worth considering that it really didn't take off until about 2015, which coincided with the lockdown, or the crackdown, I should say, on gifting. So it killed off the diamond business, but it created massive demand for spirits. So it's exactly the same phenomenon, and it would really require a significant crackdown on this kind of gifting to really puncture the advance. But it has gone up an awful lot, and it is certainly due some consolidation, and that may weigh on the CSI 300. But what we're potentially now seeing in China is a rotation out of the CSI 300 and perhaps back into mainland, or off the mainland and into Hong Kong. So the H share index has now rallied enough to break its medium-term sequence of lower rally highs, and it has also been ranging in a volatile manner really since the peak in 2007. At the minimum, there's the potential here that it is going to go back up and test the upper side of the range. The Hang Seng index was also in positive territory and in a reasonably dynamic manner, clearly breaking now the sequence of lower rally highs. Well, then when we think about commodities generally, there is certainly evidence of a recovery in all forms of commodities. And that is helping the Australian market as well. So Australia's ASX 200 continues to pause here above the 6500 level, but it looks like the Aussie dollar is back on a recovery trajectory overall, even if it does have a short-term overbought condition. This clear breaking of the medium-term downtrend looks to be more than a short-term phenomenon. So as we then think about where are prices likely to go, well, we may have some back and forth, but the continued outperformance of emerging markets is likely to be one of the defining characteristics of 2021. Then let's think about bonds, because Janet Yellen was approved for her, or is probably going to be approved by Thursday for the Treasury Secretary position. She said today that the USA is not seeking a weaker dollar, but they're probably not going to complain about it either. And the reality here is that the plans for spending in the USA are approximately $1 trillion more than the Federal Reserve was planning on buying. So we're in an era of modern monetary theory. I don't think there's really any argument about that any longer. So as long as deficits are continuing to expand, so will the Fed continue to increase the size of its balance sheet. So this is not an official policy, but if we look at their actions, it's exactly what they're doing. The size of the Fed's balance sheet hasn't really gone much of anywhere since June, but there's the clear scope that it could rise by at least another trillion in 2021, given the pace of the issuance that's going to come from the new Biden administration. Of course, there is likely to be an awful lot of filibustering as we look into what's likely in the next administration. Having now, with President Trump leaving office, it looks like an increasing number of Republicans are going to readopt fiscal austerity and balanced budget plans, and will try and oppose increasing spending measures at every turn. So any hope that we're going to end this period of lock, of deadlock between the two parties in the Senate, I think, is really out the window. But as we look towards what is likely over the next while, well, we may see that the large caps stage something of a rebound. Commodities are somewhat overbought in the short term. But then we also know that there is increasing demand. There has been a significant hit to supply as a result of swine flu, plagues of locusts, and the global pandemic. So there is ample scope for commodity prices to continue to rally overall. The unweighted continuous commodity index continues to extend the breakout from its base formation. So there is, of course, the potential that inflationary pressures are going to rise. If indeed the Federal Reserve waits until there is either clear inflationary pressures or they wait until some weakness in the stock market gives them the motivation to engage in additional quantitative easing. So the bond market at least continues to remain pat below the 1.2% level. I think it's quite likely we're going to have inflationary pressures rising in 2021, not least because there's so much cash on the sidelines. There are so many consumers that are cashed up and do not yet want to take risks by spending. But as vaccines are rolled out, as confidence does get to improve, then some of that money is going to start coming in off the sidelines, and asset prices are already rising. So there is clearly the potential that we're going to have some form of inflationary pressures coming through in 2021. And I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.